and welcome to this Future Car Fast Facts episode. I'm your host, Ed Bernardin. In 2020, the FIA generated an environmental strategy report that outlined its intentions as an organization to start the move towards carbon neutrality, with the ultimate goal of becoming net zero by 2030. The organization's strategy included the implementation of carbon reduction measures, as well as further investments into carbon compensation projects. And also, the growing popularity of championships like Formula E and Extreme E further highlight a shift towards sustainable powertrain technology in racing. One man with a unique perspective on this shift is Formula E champion Lucas Degrassi. Lucas is the winner of the first ever Formula E race and is heralded as the most successful driver in the history of that championship. He is an avid proponent of sustainability in motorsports and environmentalism as a whole. Recently, I had Lucas on the Future Car podcast, and we had a fascinating conversation that revolved primarily around sustainability in motorsports. What does it look like now? How does it compare to the past? And most importantly, what's in store for the future? Lucas himself started racing in Formula One before making the transition to Formula E. And he has an ideal frame of reference when it comes to comparing racing internal combustion engine cars to racing EVs. We spoke a bit about what this transition was like for him and what he felt the biggest differences between these two types of racing were.
It is not as different as people think. When I was in Formula One, I joined Formula One in 2010 as a race driver. The cars were already hybrid back then. So there was hybrid cars. So the electric technology was already kind of showing up here and there. It was a very initial part of the hybridization of cars. Then I moved to endurance racing in 2013, which also there were four-wheel drive hybrid cars, the very famous Audi Le Mans winning cars, prototyped with more than 1,000 horsepower. So I drove with hybrids, and the hybrids were becoming better and stronger. So the electric part was getting more important than the combustion part. So it was not like a transition, fully combustion, then okay, start fully electric. We've seen already these hybrid middle steps in many different categories going along. And then in Formula E, the first time I drove the car was 2013. And what impressed me a lot was the amount of torque required, no gears, and how quickly it accelerated, how responsive it was to the pedal. Another interesting thing was that in low, slow speed corners, you could hear the car around because you didn't have any engine to block the noises from the tire or the suspension. So you could hear much more what was going on around you.
How did that change how you drove, being able to actually hear? Is it the hearing of the other cars, the hearing of the tires? What was it?
Hearing the crowd also. In Mexico, when you go through the stadium, you can hear the crowd cheering for you, actually, for the first time ever, I would say, in motorsport, because before that, you could not hear anything else apart from the engine. It doesn't change the technique of driving because you don't rely so much on hearing to do any kind of decisions. But of course, it's a different experience when you are in the grid and the lights are going out and there is no like revs going up. That was very weird in the first race. It was just like lights coming out. And in any other category, you put the revs up to do the start, right? But in Formula E or in electric car, you're already in drive and the lights are going off. And when they go out, the car launches very quickly from zero. So that was very different from, let's say, from a combustion engine car.
The fact they have a battery, and we all know about our batteries in our phones. You say, hey, you know, don't let it go below 20. Don't charge it to 100%. Managing the batteries and all that is a key part of it. When you're thinking about managing the life of the battery or getting the most out of your batteries, does it change your driving style in any way? Because that would be different from an internal combustion engine car.
In your driving style, there is a couple of techniques you do to do the lap as fast as possible. Like, I don't know, you brake as late as possible without braking too late. You accelerate as early as possible, but not early, not too early, not too late. You accelerate, so you have to brake at the right point, accelerate at the right point. use the tire, use the downforce, use the brakes, then you have to check the temperature of the tires. That's all the same. So all this complexity remains the same. But then in racing, with an electric car with battery, you add an extra variable, which you have to do all of this, but in the most efficient way. So it's kind of you plot this complexity into maybe a parabola of shape. And you need to drive in the best way you can, but also in the optimal energy tip of this driving. If you, for example, waste energy, but you go, let's say you waste 10% of energy, but you go only 1% faster, that would be fine in, let's say, a combustion car, or even it's fine for us in qualifying, but not in the race. Because in the race, you would spend much more energy to go just a little bit faster. So kind of you need to find the right fine-tuning, the right optimization of all everything that you do, putting an extra element of complexity into the account. So it becomes very, very difficult to manage the energy while going fast at the same time. So that's why it's very difficult for a driver to jump in the seat in Formula E and be a good driver straight away. It requires probably months of training to understand all of that and then trying to kind of feedback to your driving style in the race. In qualifying, it doesn't really matter. In qualifying, it's basically as fast as you can go.
For it.
So, yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter how much energy you use, you just go flat out. So very different strategies, very different driving styles from qualifying to race, including how you set up the car, how you change the car from qualifying to the race to suit this optimization from one to another.
One great thing about the evolution of motorsports is the development of new cutting-edge technology that is often adopted by commercial vehicles. Examples include seatbelts, carbon fiber material, disc brakes, and rearview mirrors, just to name a few. But what sustainable technology do we see in commercial vehicles today that originated in motorsports? Lucas and I touched on this briefly. Take a listen. Can you give a specific example of a technology that said it went into this car or into that car that you're really, really proud of from Formula E to the commercial world?
It's hard for me to say in exact way, but again, if I have to choose one, it would be the software that controls the regen, which means depending on the how you brake, the torque demand that you have for the motor and how this motor reacts, and the capacity of the motor, how and when you use it, if a wheel lock, if a wheel doesn't lock, how do you calculate the amount of torque requested for each motor. I would say it's more software related for the moment, but this is because I'm talking about maybe three to five year time frame. If you look in the future from now on, definitely silicon carbide, inverters, the cooling of the battery, double batteries, the PMSM with the tolerances we are talking about, like, for example, the Porsche Taycan. The Porsche Taycan has two gears because the motor is not strong enough at the moment to create the right torque at low RPM and the top speed efficiency at high RPM, so they put two gears. In the future, there will be no gear. In the Tesla Plaid, for example, there's no gear anymore. So, for example, the technology of the next generation of the Taycan probably will have a lot of similarities with the Porsche powertrain they are using now, and they will already upgrade to this powertrain they are using in Formula E. For the Mahindra that I raced, the same way.
Well, you drove for Audi for many years in Formula E. I would imagine that Audi probably took many of the things they learned from what you were doing with software, and it's probably in the Audis that are on the street today, I would think.
The technology that we developed in Formula E is the technology that is at the Dakar rally car now, and the technology that we developed in the LMP1 time, which was back then, some of them were upgraded to the Formula E car. So I think the next generation of Audi electric vehicles will have a lot more of the technology that we developed 5 years ago in Formula E. Yeah, especially on the power density of the motors, the efficiency of the motors.
So, with all this newly emerging sustainable technology and with the move away from internal combustion engines towards electric, hybrid, and hydrogen-powered vehicles, what can we expect for the future of motorsports?
Your question is probably the most difficult one, because in globes, my understanding or my prediction of how human behavior is going to change in 10 years. And for me, this is the most fascinating unknown understanding of society, how human behavior and human preferences will change in such a fast pacing, such a fast developing technology world will be in 10 years. So I definitely don't know this answer. It's easier, or for me, it's easier to focus on how the technology is going to look like and what could be accepted in the way, so where the technology will be or needs to be, and what will be morally, ethically, and society will accept it to be there. And I don't know if it's 10 years, 15 or 20, but at one point, having combustion cars that pollute the environment racing each other, for me, it will be almost as impossible to see as a tobacco advertising nowadays. Because 10 years ago, or let's say 15 years ago, in many countries in the world, you could smoke inside. You could maybe 30 years ago, you could smoke in airplanes. I remember, that's how old I am. So combustion engine cars, even combustion cars in dense packed cities, it will be impossible to see. Maybe even if it's possible to use them, it will be seen in a such bad way that I think it will be impossible to have an event that promotes this type of technology. So definitely this will change. But then could you use other forms of fuel? This, yes. My prediction is that battery electric vehicles will dominate the market much more than any other technology for commercial cars, for, let's say, private use and small vehicles. But anyway, going back to your question, how do I see the sport? So the sustainability side already explained. And then the second part, we will have computer systems that drives better than any other racing driver in the planet. The same as if you take a very advanced chess engine, or you take, let's say, Alpha Zero or any of the Dogfish engine, chess engine, it will beat any of the grandmasters today in a very easy way. You have AI beating any racing driver on the planet at any conditions in a very easy way. So I see also the sport segmenting a lot the technology that will go to conventional cars in terms of how AI and how computer systems and machine learning and everything controls the vehicle, and what actually the sport of who's the best human that can control a car can be. At the moment, there is a little bit of they're a bit combined. So when you look at the Red Bull or a Mercedes or a top team in Formula E, there is a lot of computing and there is a lot of programming that helps the driver to achieve its success more and more. So the sport will become more segmented also to promote the human side, because I think that's the only way it can survive.
How do you think the spectator side is going to change? So for instance, there's more and more where you can go online and you vote for the best driver and they get a power boost, or the ability maybe to use augmented reality or whatever it might be to almost sit in the car itself. How do you think that's going to play a role, say, in 10 or 15 years?
So that's, again, it's a tricky question, because, of course, we've seen a lot of gamification going on in many different sports, but also sports without gamification gain a lot of popularity. For example, chess, right? Chess is, I don't know, 4,000 years old, 16 pieces each side, very kind of straight, and there is no like magic chess that jumps, and there is no like, it's still very popular on its raw form, right? So I don't know if, because maybe these gamifications will evolve in many other forms of games, that for example racing and Formula One needs to be very raw and very like which car, which human can control better that machine at those extreme speeds. So which human is the best, like you just described? For me, that is a key element to make sure we have success in a sport. And actually, this is what F1 did with the Netflix series, with Drive to Survive.
Yes, exactly.
It just showed the human side of the drivers behind the machine. And the popularity skyrocketed because people are interested in people. There are a few freaks like me that are interested in machines, but people are interested in people. So answering your question again, I think if human behavior continues in the same way, we need to make the series more and more relevant to the drivers, to the human side, and less to technology. But at the same time, you want to please the manufacturers because they are the one injecting cash into the sport. And motorsport is only sustainable if the technologies that we develop, they are useful in a commercial product. So you try to make it as commercial relevant as possible. So you have to keep this balance really in check, how much you put the human, how much you put the technology, to keep a good balance. And that's why it's so hard to do a successful series in motorsport.
So, as you just heard, motorsports is definitely on track to greater sustainability. Only time will tell exactly what this sustainable racing future will look like, how the fans will react to this shift, and eventually, what new and more sustainable tech will eventually end up in the cars we all drive that originated in motorsports. This has been a Future Car Fast Facts episode. I'm Ed Bernardin, and thank you for listening.